ADS-B and next-gen air traffic control. Why is the United States bringing up the rear? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest again today is Bob Poole. We talked to Bob yesterday, and we needed to expand the conversation a little bit, so we're going to run over into a second day here. Bob is the Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation, and you can find out more at reason.org and also find a place there to subscribe to Bob's newsletters, which come out regarding aviation issues. Bob, welcome back.
Thank you, Paul.
You mentioned yesterday briefly about the European implementation of NextGen and how it differs from what's planned for the U.S. The first thing that strikes me is the U.S., the FAA's plan, even for ADS-B out as a minimum requirement, is supposed to be phased in over an excruciatingly long period. Are you saying there are also technological advantages to Europe's system other than the fact that it'll be online much sooner?
Yes, I think, you know, a number of the other features will be and are being implemented. Some of them are being implemented right now as we speak. Last week's Aviation Week, the April 21st issue, had 4 or 5 pages about, headline was 2020 Air Traffic Management Today. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about four-dimensional trajectories that are being flown at several airports now and are planned to be expanded significantly over the next few years. This includes a lot more continuous descent approaches for airliners initially, but that can be easily expanded to business jets. The approach that they're taking seems to be much more implementation-oriented. In this country, we have the JPDO, which is an intergovernment agency organization that has private sector volunteers working with it. Europe's counterpart is called CESAR, S-E-S-A-R, a single European sky something or other. The point is not just to define the system that's needed, but to then transition into an implementation plan that actually has the blessing of the European Commission to go forth and do it. And as I mentioned, they already are starting to implement some of the key features of their next generation system. And it just seems to me that we have a lot of good study efforts going on, but we really don't have the mechanism in place to actually implement in a serious way.
You know, Bob, it's in the age when it was said a few years ago that computers doubled in capacity and power every 18 months.
Right, that's Moore's Law.
Moore's Law. And it dawned on me when I heard that, you know what? In this world, at the rate at which technology is improving and leapfrogging, how will any regulatory bureaucracy ever hope to keep up? And when the FAA talks about implementing ADS,
you look at FAA procurements and they tend to drag on and drag on, and between the time they initially define a system requirement and the time it actually gets delivered and put into service, you can be talking about 10 to 15 years. And, you know, the technology by that point is so obsolete compared to what is then capable of being done. But you really have to ask, is this dysfunctional? Is this an organization, in effect, designed for failure? Not because of any lack of intention or goodwill or, in some sense, even not any lack of technical knowledge on the part of the people within FAA, but simply because they're embedded in a system that is so constrained by having to go hat in hand every year to Congress and beg for their money, for having to be micromanaged, to constantly respond to congressional committees that have jurisdiction, to the OMB, to the Inspector General. They really respond primarily to Congress as opposed to responding primarily to their customers, the aviation community.
Well, what is it about the European system specifically that is being done better than what we're doing?
Well, it's the fact that they're implementing, their organization that's planning it also has the responsibility to implement, and that it involves, it's an inherently industry-government partnership. It's not an intergovernment agency group with some volunteers from the private sector. it's an actual hands-on partnership that includes Boeing and Airbus as leading aircraft, you know, the ones who have to build the airliners that will be equipped with all the gear to be able to operate in the next-gen system, but also most of the key players making the equipment. People who really know what they're doing, and obviously, you know, many of them are competitors, but they all also have a common interest in seeing that we make this transition sooner rather than later, because the whole system's future growth and health depends on it.
We need to break. We'll be back in a moment with Robert Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest today is Bob Poole, who is the Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. The website is reason.org. Bob, just a few days ago, a comment period wrapped up on a notice of proposed rulemaking regarding ADS-B.
Yes.
And that's a topic on which, if you really know, if the more you study the system and the proposals, the harder it gets to even know where to start to respond
to
this thing.
Yes, it's very depressing because basically what the notice that they put out said that the deadline is 2020 for all aircraft that expect to fly in, I guess, high-level airspace to be equipped with ADS-B out, which basically simply means you're identifying your plane like with a transponder to the system. But it gives the user zero benefits, and the only way you get benefits is with ADS-B in, which gives you the display in the cockpit of traffic information and weather information and so forth in real time, and that is an undefined, unscheduled, future someday capability.
One would assume that that's beyond 2020.
Absolutely. That will have to be beyond 2020 because we can just barely, you know, with a 2020 implementation deadline for installing this on everyone's planes, an awful lot of people, both individual owner pilots and airlines, are going to wait till the last minute because why incur that big expense now when you're not going to get any benefit at all from it until sometime after 2020 when ADS-B in comes along? So, I mean, it means it creates, therefore, no incentive for the manufacturers of the onboard equipment to create large production runs, which will bring down unit costs to an affordable level, because they can't expect large orders for years and years and years.
Well,
this is a disaster.
Well, and you know that large order will come in 2019. That's the square
right,
I want to.
Exactly. And the ironic thing is that during FAA's pioneering capstone project in Alaska, they've had ADS-B in for a number of years. It was a relatively small number of planes, but it's not like there's anything brand new that has to be invented for this.
Well, Bob, there's going to be lots of steps. With anything this complicated, there are going to be lots of steps remaining in the rulemaking process,
yes,
probably even beyond what's mandated by law. What should we reach a largely general aviation audience here?
Right.
This is going to be the way it's proposed now. The estimates have run from $4,000 to $17,000 per aircraft,
mm-hmm,
to equip for ADS-B out. Obviously, if it were implemented over a shorter time frame, the economics of volume would drive that down.
Very much so.
But this is obviously something in which general aviation pilots and aircraft owners are going to have a huge stake. What should we be watching for? What will be the remaining steps at which we have an opportunity to make an impact on the process?
Right. Well, there will be, I'm sure, a new notice of proposed rulemaking on this because FAA basically got their hat handed to them by everybody just about every, you know, the vendors, the general aviation community, the airlines, all said this is ridiculous. So it's going to have to be, to a significant extent, back to the drawing board. I found it, though, dismaying that Phil Boyer, head of AOPA, argued in, to his readers in their magazine that, look, we protected you by having by pushing that implementation date, the equipage date, all the way out to 2020. At least we got it that far pushed off. I think Phil is really doing a disservice to his members by pushing for a far away as possible deadline. The only way to get the cost down is to have that deadline be as soon as, say, the ground installation is equipped, is finished, and that is more likely to be, 2012, 2013, something like that.
Well, how quickly is Europe implementing their version of NextGen?
Well, their ADS-B implementation, I don't have the dates in front of me, but it's long before 2020, and it's all these other pieces that they're doing as well are coming much sooner. I think you'll see that whole CSAR organization in Europe pushing hard because it includes the vendors and includes airlines and it includes, I believe, some of the GA manufacturers as well. They seem to have a shared interest that they recognize in earlier implementation and in shorter equipage deadlines, so that we can get the transition going and make sure that it happens and the benefits start flowing.
You know, I was shaking my head. I think I read. I'm not positive on this, but I think I read that China is shooting for 2012.
I think I read that too. I mean, I've got a whole file on ADS-B and Australia. Likewise, Australia is still working on trying to figure out if they can help the whole GA community by some kind of government coordinated bulk purchase of ADS-B equipment for GA aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very interesting model if they actually pull that off in the next year or two, and we could well see that happen. Australia, because they don't have radar coverage over quite a large part of the country, sees ADS-B as a way to jumpstart, you know, to do what they would never probably have been willing to afford in providing complete radar coverage over a largely unoccupied continent.
Right.
They're just leapfrogging that and doing ADS-B instead, and I think China is doing the same thing. China's also making some pioneering steps in RNP approaches in some very difficult terrain. So there's a lot of interesting things going on that, again, repeats the message that we're seeing in many respects more progress in a lot of other countries, faster progress than we're seeing here.
Well, Bob, if there's one thing for sure, it's that we'll be able to get back together and talk about this for, you know, the foreseeable future.
There will be lots more to discuss, I'm sure, Paul.
The downside is that we may not finish our discussion before we're both retired.
Right. That is a worry, definitely.
But we do appreciate you taking a few minutes out from what I know is a very busy schedule that you lead. And we'd invite our listeners to go to reason.org. And whether on the surface at this moment you agree with Bob's positions and everything, it's a great newsletter to read. There's in fact, there are a couple of newsletters you can sign up for there that'll come in your email, and they make for great thought-provoking reading. Bob, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great, Paul. Thanks very much.
Bob Poole is the Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.